Here is Norway 8, Echo Henry, 10-8 extra power. Again, N8EHP, monitoring for the next hour.
KCHCLM listening.
And here is N8 extra horsepower, N8EHP, name of state. Here is N8EHP, N8 extra horsepower.
Well, good morning, Whiskey Delta 8 Delta X-Ray, WD8DX here up in Lake Leland.
I may have worked you last summer, I'm not sure. The name here is Dave, and my second home is in downtown Acme. I haven't been there in a while. Family bought a place there in 1957. Anyhow, it's always good to hear Trevor City Machine almost full scale down here in Detroit. I brought this thing up with 5 watts, by the way. His name is...
I was going to ask you, are mobile or portable, because you're... This repeater struggles from time to time, even at 50 watts. So if you are in there at 5 watts, you're doing extremely well. But you are fading out there towards the end, just an FYI. Anyway, it's a good possibility. We've talked before. I try to talk to anyone that I don't recognize the call sign right offhand. I'm terrible at names and remembering things. So, unless I talk to you on a daily basis. Oh, shoot. But anyway, we're just getting up, getting here, and headed into work. I'm almost ahead of schedule, so that's not a bad thing. Get into work, get some stuff done today. Try to make it look like I did something. I don't know if we can keep you happy, but we'll curb the enthusiasm anyway.
Again, the name here is Dave, and I missed your name, over.
No problem, Dave, and my name is Jeff. I'm Julian Echo, Foxtrot, and today we live on Lake Leland. The place of work is out of Trevor City, but I work actually all over the state of Michigan. As far south as Indiana, border, across to Detroit, and all the way up into Oshkosh. So, pretty much just anywhere I have a barrel. We still have some of it.
So, Jeff, you said I actually dropped out at one point, but when I'm in there, is it full quieting?
It's hit and miss. Hit and miss. There's times you're in there... full quieting, and other times it's scratchy a bit. So, again, that's why I kind of thought maybe you might be mobile or on a portable there walking around the house. there's times that you are crystal clear, but like I said, I'm not blaming you or your station. I am, the repeater is not, not always the most happy, so, for the most part, you're very readable and understandable, so I wouldn't be too concerned, but, I definitely, you know, I would definitely be hitting it with as much power as you can just to make sure you stay that way.
This machine has been solid for years. Solid. But clearly, there's a serious problem because you're also, you're breaking up one of your transmissions. You talk about all these places you traveled to. You were breaking up so bad I could barely even understand what you were saying.
Yep, understood. And to be honest with you, I am not that far from the repeater, and I am running 45 to 50 watts here out of a 5/8 wave on top of a big van. So antenna and power is not an issue. It's hit and miss. Once this repeater gets going, it does fine, but there are times it'll drop out like that. So again, like I said, I'm not blaming you or your station. I have a tendency to point the finger towards the repeater, but the guys that work on it do a good job, but it's been a struggle here as of late.
I've been struggling for years, 20 years. I get the computer late at night with 5 watts, no problem. You know, midnight, 1 in the morning. When the propagation is at its best, but clearly this repeater is dealing with a serious issue right now. Just chopping, cutting in and out. My last transmission was on 5 watts, and this transmission is on 5 watts.
Yep, understood. So anyway, well, like I say, we're headed on into work, and we're trying to make the best of her today, and all I am doing is coming down to the weekend. I have absolutely every intention to do absolutely nothing this weekend. I have been on a dead run for months now, and it is time to completely shut down, turn that switch off, and maybe sit and watch some TV, play some social media, and completely disappear for a weekend. Go ahead.
Yep, the signal from this repeater just went beyond full scale. here's a 5 watt, here's 20 watts, and here's 50 watts. Was there much of a difference?
Yep, significant difference as you worked your way out there. When you hit the 50 watts, your popcorn was almost completely gone. 20 watts was, you had some fill in there, but it was not as bad as the 5 watts, so, yep.
It's been a year. Almost a full year. The system has been so hot. Hours a day, 7 days a week, but only for a second or two here and there, you know, like coming and going. Like once every couple hours it'd pop in there. But every time a jet would be in just the right spot, you know, at 40,000 feet or whatever, many times for a large jet airliner, anywhere, I guess, between 30 to 40,000 feet in just the right spot would act like a satellite for this repeater.
And I get about a third of that. So I think I'm going to call it quits for this morning. You have yourself a good day, and we'll be monitoring here a bit. So hopefully things will... Well, what do you want to say? Hopefully it'll get a little better here later in the future. So, WDAPX Mobile, clear and listening, 86.
ADUIS mobile. I'm here in the 7-4, the 8-6, the 3-4, the 1-9 here in Clare County, in my mobile. Coming in full quieting. That's pretty wild.
Jeff, you want to tell them where I'm at?
Come on back with that. Top of the morning, Jeff and other station. This is KDUIS Mobile.
Yeah, I'm in Detroit.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys for about 10 minutes or so. I'm just getting ready to pull into work here. Coming into Clare. I was just flipping through the dial, and I can hear 7-4, the 700 I can usually hear anyway, but they're all coming in really good this morning, so pretty good band opening. I just wanted to say howdy. You got Ryan here. I'll be mobile again here in about 20, 30 minutes, heading northbound, so have a good morning. Enjoy the day. It's going to be a little bit warm, but get that sunshine while we got it. We only got a couple more months, and we're going to be into the dark days again. So, K8DYS, clear for now.
We're actually here in Chippewa County up near Lake Superior down here in Detroit right now. I guess Jeff kind of got tied up there. That ain't extra horsepower. Name is Dave. We're in Detroit.
N8DX, I sure do wish you was working down here in Lewiston, KC8CMQ.
I'm driving my wife's car today, and I'll be jumping into a big rig here in a second. I think it's got around 500 horse, so that's plenty, I guess. Oh, the manager's out here. He's got his Jeep, the covers all off of it, doors off of it. Alrighty, from Detroit, we're in Clare. We'll catch you later. Good chatting with you. Good hearing you. We'll talk to you. Hopefully talk to you later. KDYS, clear.
You know, I can almost tell you're in there on the input. Now, here, a tiny bit of scratching. So, yeah, band's in pretty good shape. So, Lewiston. Let's see if I can hear you on the repeater input. Name here is Dave or Detroit.
Well, I was going to, this is Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie and Mike Quebec call my queen. I was trying to see if I could still get Jeff in there. I was going to find out if he was down here in Lewiston so he can crawl into my car and do a little wiring for me, but never know where he's going to go, but I guess he got out of there. Yep, we're up here in Lewiston this morning, or today anyways.
Been listening here for the last, I don't know, 15 minutes and heard how bad he was breaking up in the repeater.
Yeah, he does that every once in a while. That's no big deal. Sometime here when I'm on Echolink, I do the same thing. Of course, then again, too, if you key it up too quick, he's got 15 All-Star connections on this thing, so it takes a little while sometimes to connect to all these crazy things, and you get a little bit of static along with it.
Well, again, neighbor is Dave. Call is NA Extra Horsepower, or EHP. And this repeater has never gone below S9, and it keeps returning to beyond full scale. Way over full scale, which it's at right now. And I don't think I can hear you on the input out of Lewiston because it sounds like you're on Echolink right now.
Yep, that's correct. I'm on the Echolink. I got a small couple little radios, Wolfgang's. Yeah, I'm only about 6.5 miles away from the 700 over here in Mile, and I can't hit them from the inside of my house. I got to go outside because inside of some of these mobiles, double wide mobiles, they just don't want to get out. So I figured, well, it's easiest just to use Echo Link and get over that. Unless I get in the car and take off and go with that, then I can use the mobile out and that crazy thing. But here in the house, I just sit in my one loungy chair and sit in Echo Link and do it that way.
I'll try to get into the 86 and the mobile here. We're in Clare, getting the 86 full scale here. We're about 80 miles from the repeater.
Yeah, that's not too bad. We always had our Kenwood here in the house. We ran that at 50 watts no matter what it was. That way there I wouldn't have to be back and forth, because most of mine were 40, 50 miles away anyways. So we just left it on 50 watts going northwest over towards the Gaylord-Grayling area, and the back of the 700 was on the back of it. We could pick that up, or the 3.5, I should say, and we could talk on the back of that crazy thing, so we didn't have to change anything around. But anyways, we're still looking out there to see where Jeff was hollering at and going to and whatever else. And I got to get some wiring done before tomorrow. If not, I got to take another van to go pick up with a trailer, because somehow or other I lost my aftermath connections to do my trailers with. So anyways, gotta get out of here, get coffee going. This 78-year-old guy's gotta go out there and try to crawl underneath a car this morning before it gets too hot. Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie Mike Quebec. Catch you later.
Yes, just a little bacon frying. You're in there. You're in Clare, right? Name is Dave. What's your name? I think you already said it 3 times. Over.
Yeah, it's Ryan. All right, Dave. Good to meet you. Yeah, I just got stopped here. I'm sitting next to a big truck here in between some trucks. I just wanted to see if you might possibly be able to hear me on the input just for giggles before I jump out of the vehicle here. While the band's open, I don't usually get to play around too much on the radio at the right times, so I was just taking advantage of it. I kind of figured today and tomorrow would be pretty good in the nighttime hours, early morning to shoot a little bit of across the state action there. So, but we're just transmitting 50 watts here from Rate and Claire. We're at 10 and 127, right on the money. So we're right in the middle of the state.
You're getting into the TCM machine from Claire. Am I right?
That is correct.
Is that normal for this machine, or do you need propagation to do this?
Now the band's got to be just right. I can hear it when I get west of Harrison a little bit, but definitely not full scale. It's coming in 60 over right now.
I'm not sure if I heard that 100% correct. So the TCM machine can get into Claire on a regular basis. You really don't even need conditions, right?
No, that's incorrect. No. No, I need a little bit of help from the weather to get into it from Claire.
That's mind-blowing. Is this machine on one of those towers, on the west side of the West Bay?
Yeah, it's on 72 up on the hill there. At the 7 and 4 main station there.
KC8CLM. Chester and Harrison.
UIS, we're trying the 7-4 from Claire. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf.
Hey, good morning there, Jim. We're just getting ready to hook on here. I just wanted to catch the 7-4 before it goes away here. We're sitting right here in town in Claire, so coming in full scale, we got a good opening this morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I heard you talking to Detroit and other places. I heard Kansas City, Missouri, believe it or not. And I heard Chester out there, so you might want to give him a call. Alpha Charlie 8, Delta Golf.
Yeah, I was inside. I had to move a cooler around. It was leaking in the building. And I'm going to try the 700 here, see if we can make it into that one. How about you there, Chester? KC8CLM, KUIS.
KC8CLM. I mean, K8DYS. KC8CLM. I got you.
KC8CLM. Heck yeah, you're coming in. Great. I'm working into the mile. A 9KOP mile repeater right now from Claire. Coming in. Over 9. I don't know what it says. 60? 60. Over 9.
All right. Good deal. Yeah, I'm getting full scale here.
What repeater are you getting in there?
147-200.
Roger, roger, roger. Boy, it sure is a beautiful morning here. 75 degrees. Right here in the heart of Claire. I'm getting ready to slap against this trailer here. Oh, it looks like they're selling the truck. Yep. I just wanted to jump out here and say howdy. Yeah, listen out. You can scan the band a little bit. Jim just told me he was, I think he said North Carolina. I don't know. Missouri? Missouri, I think he said. Sorry. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, Jim, if you're still out there listening. Yeah, you can get quite a ways sometimes if you're lucky. KDYS, I'm going to be clapping against this trailer. We'll be standing by.
I'm going to be heading out the door. So, I'll talk maybe tomorrow morning. Maybe late tonight. KC8CLM.
UMH Mobile 26. Can you do on Mobile?
Morning, Ryan. How are things over your way? We got quite the 2-meter band opening this morning.
Yeah, I'm setting machine right now. I'm just coming into Harrison.
Oh, good deal, man. I looked at the APRS map and I was like, wow! There's a whole lot of stuff I'm hearing direct right now. And then I looked at the one that's at my parents' house, and it's hearing Cass City, or I think that's what it is, Cass City Direct, which is way south. So I didn't get really get to fiddle fart around on 5-2. I threw my call a few times. I didn't hear anything, so maybe nobody wants to talk to me again.
Maybe. I've been so busy. I worked all weekend, and I fell at 6 last night, woke up at 7. I had to plant a couple plants outside, did that as quick as possible. But when I was on my way to work this morning, I was listening to Jeff and Dave out of Detroit talking to me. So I flipped over to the 86, and I was getting a full my mobile all the way to work. I sat there for a minute and talked. And then I was listening to the 7-4, the 1-1. I could hear all of them from my mobile in Clare. Next to two semis. I was in between two sleeper trucks. So that's pretty good opening, yeah. I'd say so. It's going to be hotter today.
When the bands start opening this time of year, it's usually when the temperature changes more from the day to into the evening or into the morning is really when it really kicks up, especially if there's a lot of humidity. So you'll probably notice if you get on probably starting around 8:30, 9 p.m., it'll start getting enhanced again. And it just gets better and better up until into the morning.
Roger. Well, when I first got my license, that was about this time of year, fall or something, that fall, I already had it up for years. Over the summer, I put up a 14 element 2-meter antenna. It was about 50 feet. I just got it over the road. I put it on the top. I was on fire around 11 o'clock at night. And I was talking to North Carolina, Tennessee, all of lower Michigan. I was hearing stations out of Battle Creek, Detroit, all over. I talked to probably 30 people that night. I stayed up till probably 2 in the morning thinking around with it because I was like, wow, this is cool. And then in the morning, it was still open, and I heard it go away. When the sun started getting up and getting everything warmed up, you could hear it just fizzle away. So pretty interesting. So I like it. It's pretty nice. And you can do it without a Yagi, but it was full scale. I mean, I was hearing everybody full scale at 5 watts, and they could hear me clear as day. So even people with just lower antenna height. Yeah, we're just rolling by the North Harrison exit here. Hopefully I'm still getting in there, Dave. But I figured I'd holler back there. We're heading up to Atlanta. Atlanta is my first stop. I got to remember that. I can't miss it.
Yeah, for a good chunk of that, you were pretty rough. And then once you started getting towards the exit there and everything had cleared right up, and then you started getting a little rough again, but that's not too bad. I'm just in town here, Boardman and Washington Street, just about to the parking structure. Tell you what, it is nice being able to park in a parking structure. Yesterday when I got in my car to go to lunch, it was actually colder in my car than it was outside, and my car had been sitting for 4 hours. That's not too shabby. But, alright man, I'm just about to pull into the parking structure here, and I gotta focus on where I'm going, because it's an absolute zoo in here most of the time. KDYF and 8 UMH Mobile.
Alright, be careful. Yeah, Harrison's in a hole. The north Harrison exit's up on a hill. So now we're dropping back down. Okie dokie, you can stand with you, Drake. We'll catch you later. KDYF Mobile.
It's KFAWW Portable. KFAWW Portable Testing.
AB9NN mobile monitoring.
WHRTM mobile.
Hey, you're on? Any EMH mobile?
At least you have an excuse. You're probably working. I'm just out in the heat because I'm stupid. Cuck says it's 91. House says it's 85 in the shade. 94 heat index.
I believe it. When I checked at the house, it said it was, I think it was 93. But I checked that like 2 or 3 hours ago. So, it could be more than that now. Car says it's 86 on Front Street here in Tragic Town.
Yeah, I gotta come out there tomorrow and pick somebody up at TVC. Not looking forward to it, but I'm about the only logical choice. I got a buddy that does high voltage substation maintenance, and they're working in Canton today. It's 100 degrees out in the pad. And of course, all the work today is out in the pad, not in the switch house. So they already called it quits for the day. I think they called it quits around noon or one. But, and all the electric utilities are on restricted operations. So they are not standing next to the throw out switches and contactors when they go.
There you go. All right, on. I feel bad for you even having to come anywhere close to this place right now. I've gone, I gotta go a half a mile, and it's gonna take me 10 minutes to get there. And
yeah, well,
it's on the street that
I get to hang up by the airport, and I am gonna make a Costco run, but it's not like I gotta go through downtown or down Front Street or anything like that. So that's a good thing, but and it should be a beautiful ride. I don't mind the ride, especially this time of, spring, summer, fall, as long as it's not the dead of winter. So it should be a nice enough ride. I did see, though, that there's a fairly significant and serious wildfire smoke threat for tomorrow and Thursday. I'm like, great, just wonderful. Probably precursor to the locust.
Just give it time. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. You'll be right next to my place, essentially. I'm, Barlow and South Airport. So not just the next intersection after Garfield. If you're heading west on South Airport there. So. Well, at least you'll be on that side of town, because, yeah, in town is a process. So. All right, man. I'm going to let you go here and turn up the tunes and whatnot. So. Go for it, man. Go for it. There you go. All right. At 8 DMH mobile.
Okay. Stay cool. I had a question/comment for you regarding the net last night, but it can wait. Didn't know if you were listening. All right, see ya. Stay cool, W8RPM.
K8PCW.
Hello, Bentley. Just stepping out. I'll be right back, W8RPM. Okay, just had to make a quick pickup. W8RPM mobile.
KABCW, heard you talking to, I think it might have been Drake or someone. I caught the tail end of that conversation. Yeah, it's a hot one out here. It's our week of hot weather.
Yeah, probably the only week all summer long. And, you know, it's got to be extremes. You know, instead of giving me, you know, a month of 80s, you're going to give me 60s and 70s, and then a month or a week of 90s and maybe 100s. Yes, it was great. And I don't know if you heard my comment. I got a friend that does high voltage substation maintenance, and they're working in Canton today. It was 100 degrees air temperature out on the pad. And I think about 11 o'clock they got the order for restricted operations, so they got that shut down. Because they said they don't want people standing next to the equipment when it blows up.
Well, if you can believe 9 and 10 News that I was watching last night, they were talking about it being 100 degrees in Sheboygan today and 100 degrees in Grayling. So I guess there's enough of that to go around the state right now.
I saw that. I did see that. And they're not the only ones predicting that. I've seen other places. Well, truck says 92. The phone says 90, heat index 94. Air temperature 89. I don't think I believe that, but and 85 in the shade at the house. So, you know, it's summer. I mean, we complain about how cold it is, and then we complain about how hot it is, you know. Just be thankful the sun's shining and you don't have anything to shovel.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall my attitude in March when I had 3 feet of snow dumped on me in 2 days, and I'm not doing much today, just watching it out the window and sitting on the front porch right now doing some radio testing. But it's not going to kill you if you are smart.
All right, and if it does kill you, then that means that you're a Darwin candidate and it's just cleansing the gene pool. But I just recently left the house. I went up to the club and took care of a couple of little things and emptied the trash because it's trash day at home, so I can grab all the trash from the club, put it out with my regular trash, and it doesn't even inconvenience me. It's just the drive. I see gas in town is still $3.79. This is only the second day that I've had the air on. You know, I had the air on one other day because it was just so humid. It wasn't hot. It wasn't unbearably hot. It was just so sticky and humid in the house. So I ran the air one day a couple weeks ago, and then I didn't turn it on at all yesterday, although we had the air in the camper on because we were hanging out in the camper. And, man, I got a lot done yesterday. I got a lot of my radio stuff done. I'm about buttoning stuff up. I got some lighting installed. I got some under cabinet LEDs on my radio shelves. And I'm fairly proud of myself. I was out there till 1 in the morning.
Yeah, that's great, man. Progress is always a good thing. I'm sitting here on my front porch watching my American flag whipping around in the breeze, which is nice. So if it was full sun and no breeze, it would be pretty unbearable out here. But, again, it's summer. We get this from time to time. I've been running my air quite a bit this summer, but I've got a bungalow-style house at Cape Cod, and it's really hard to regulate the temperature across the three stories. So looking forward to one of these days probably having more of a simple ranch home where it's a little bit easier to heat and cool.
We're going to one-up you, because I have it's actually a modular prefab, came on three sections, so it's, you know, the bottom two halves and then a full upstairs with a 24-foot vaulted ceiling in the main living area with, of course, a ceiling fan. I wish it had two, but it only has one. And heating and cooling that thing, boy. Cooling it, actually cooling it's a lot easier than heating it for obvious reasons. And no basement, no venting in the crawl space, you know, no plenum returns or anything like that. So it's pretty easy to cool. It's not easy to cool the second story, but, you know, that's not that significant of a thing. But anyhow, stop number two. Be right back. W8RPM. I feel like the Chinese laundry guy running the numbers racket.
Sorry, I missed that.
Said I feel like the Chinese laundry guy running the numbers racket, you know, running around all the little shops in town, taking my cut.
The big. Hey, I had a question for you, Ron. You seem to be in the know on a lot of things because you talk to a lot of people. Do you know what the status is of the NOAA weather station transmitter that covers this area over here in Petoskey? I think it's NOAA Channel 4. I don't know which frequency it broadcasts on, but I had heard that the antenna was damaged from the ice storm and they hadn't yet repaired it, but nobody seems to know when that's going to be repaired. Kind of surprised that it hasn't been done given the number of boaters in the, you know, northern Lake Michigan area that would rely on that. But the Goodhart Tower still seems to be down. Have you heard anything?
No, specifically I have not, but I noticed that myself. I thought that it was back after the ice storm. I'll swear I heard it because it's usually my go-to for, you know, testing antennas and rubber ducks and HTs in the house and stuff. I'm not sure if it's Channel 4 or Channel 8, but I think it's 475, 162-475. And no, I haven't heard, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be opposed, and I would sort of suggest that you just call the weather office in Gaylord and ask them. They ought to know. And I did notice it was down. It's funny. I have a, you know, VHF marine radio on the little boat as well as the big boat. And I got the little boat ready, you know, got it unwinterized and brought it home and made sure everything worked. And, you know, one of the things I did was look for the weather channel, and I couldn't find it. There are a couple of, I think the Alpena and the Roger City one is sort of there. It's pretty weak. This was just the other day, too. So, yeah, I share your concerns with the coverage out in the Great Lakes. And it's weird because I also just saw a story today about a guy that requested a QSL card, or a, you know, it's really not a QSL card because there's no conversation, but proof of life, you know, proof of monitoring, there's a name for it, I don't remember it, from CHU, which is, you know, the Canadian version of WWV, they shut down as well just the other day. And this guy had a picture of the confirmation of receipt card that he had requested and actually got in the mail before they went away.
Yeah, that, again, NOAA 4, which covers the area up here out of Goodhart, has been down since last year, but I do remember it was back up and running right after the ice storm, but then it went offline again. Every once in a while, I can sometimes catch the, I think it's Channel 1, which covers the Grand Traverse area, but that's pretty sketchy. So I was just curious, when I took my storm watch training this spring in Petoskey at North Central Michigan College, the representative from NOAA who was there to provide us the storm watch training, I asked him about it and he had no idea. So maybe I'll make a call.
It'd be good to know. I mean, that's a good propagation predictor, too, and at the moment, I wonder if I can hear any of it in the truck.
I just got a signal on NOAA 1. I can look up the frequency for you if it's something you need to dial in if you want to try it.
You didn't hear a word of that. I won't tell you how stupid I was, but anyway, Coast Guard's got a really robust VHF network, too, with direction finding on all their towers. And those are 1,000-watt transmitters. NOAA's usually 300 or 500.
I think my All-Star node might have cut out on me there, so I only caught the tail end of your last.
No, it was me. I have three 146.74s with three different PLs, and I just bumped the knob, and I was transmitting, but I didn't open the squelch, so you didn't hear any of it.
Okay, good to know. Thanks. Yeah, so anyway, I was just been curious about that for a while. Apparently not curious enough to make the call, but maybe I'll do that. To me, it's kind of a safety thing, a public safety thing, and I don't know how many boaters rely on that NOAA weather for their navigation anymore, but man, when I was doing a lot of sea kayaking, I had my VHF radio on my PFD, and that was always something I was listening to every time I stopped and took a break or saw some threatening weather in the area.
Well, and sometimes simple is best. You know, Canada shutting down their version of NOAA as well. The transmitters, anyway, saying that, you know, well, everybody's got a cell phone. It's Canada. You know, what's the percentage of landmass in Canada with cell coverage? I mean, I know it's 90% of the population because it's all in Vancouver and Ontario, but just landmass, it can't be 10%.
Well, you got to pay for free health care somehow, huh?
I wasn't going to go there. I've been arguing with the El-Sayed liberal white women socialist sympathizers. It's kind of a sport now.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that. I don't even want to go there, but I hear you.
I don't know how Drake does it. I got to go to TC tomorrow, and I know even in Petoskey, there's tons of signs. And I'm like, and I tell you, I just don't hold back. You know, I mean, we don't have to pursue this, but I just don't pull any punches. I'm like, we fought wars against socialists and communists. We shot them. We didn't elect them.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people's idea of history begins when they became aware. And when we don't teach history at school anymore, these types of things can happen.
And it's very easy to blame everything on the government schools because most of it is their fault, but I digress. What else you got going on radio-wise? You want me to bug you about studying for your general again?
Consider me bugged. I built a little Manpack radio, which is pretty cool. It's a mobile that runs off of a lithium iron phosphate battery, which is pretty sweet. That's just been what I've been testing different antennas with it. And it's in a little fishing bag, a little sling bag that I can take with me wherever I need to go. And I can plug it into a vehicle if I want to, and just a nice little portable rig, kind of lessons learned from the ice storm. If I need to go somewhere else to set up, how can I reach different places and different people? And that's been a fun little project, and it's turned out quite well. I'm very pleased with it. My buddy Chris and I are going to do some testing around the high points in the county this Saturday and see what we might be able to do on Simplex with that setup. It should be fun.
So two questions, and I've heard you mention this before, and you seem pretty excited about it. I assume it's a 25-watt dual-band radio. So what are you using for a rig, and what are the specs on the battery? My swap buddy that I tend to go to all the ham swaps with lives down in Shelby. He has a sprayer, a fertilizer and pesticide sprayer that runs on 12 volts, but his tractor is 6 volts. So he has to power the thing separately as a standalone. And he had a little SLA, you know, probably a 7 amp hour SLA. And more online, he found these LIOs, and 3 of them are the size of this one 7 amp hour, and they're 4 apiece. So he got almost 1.5 times the capacity, less than half the weight, less than half the physical space. And he just swears by these things, except they have an oddball high current charger. And he sent me the link for them. I was going to get one just to play with, and of course they're no longer available.
Yeah, okay. So the radio is actually, it's a dual band, but it's also a Part 90, so it'll do GMRS, it'll do MERS, FRS, all of that stuff right out of the box. And it's a DMR radio. I wanted a mobile DMR rig, and it'll do 50 watts, and it's an Anytone 578. And the battery I'm running on it is, like I said, it's a lithium iron phosphate battery. I've been running those sealed lead acid batteries for a long time, and they've gotten so terribly cheap and crappy that they only last a few cycles anymore. So I tried one of these batteries some time ago, was real happy with it, so I bought one that's a little bit bigger capacity for this setup, and it works great. I'll pull it out here and I'll tell you what the specs are on it, but I'll send you a link to it as well. And it's fantastic. It is 12.8 watts, 10 amp hours, and 128 watt hours capacity.
But it's probably hardly any bigger than the radio.
It's the same width as the radio, so it sits in the bottom of this little swing bag, and I bought a frame-type cage for the radio, so it'll be protected in the soft bag, and the radio just rests on top of the battery, and I've got some Anderson power pole connectors that I put on it, so I can plug it in and unplug it, charge it with a solar panel, etc. These LiFePO4 lithium iron phosphate batteries, they do require a special charger, so I bought one of those, I don't know, a couple years ago to charge the first type of battery that I had, but it'll charge anything including this battery, so it's worth investing in a more modern charger that will properly charge these things. And I think I might have paid $35 for this battery and maybe $60 for the charger a couple years ago.
And it's just a higher charge current, right? I mean, that seems to me like that's the only difference.
I think it's a variable charge current, so that you don't, like, hit the battery with, you know, full charge throughout the entire cycle. It tapers it off to not damage the battery. That's my guess, but I don't know enough about the chemical makeup of these batteries to say one way or the other. But you just punch that setting on the charger, it recognizes it, and it charges it appropriately, and it works great.
Yeah, it would be nice to have, you know, just another option, especially something that's light and easier to carry. So, you know, even in the camper, I mean, I have a dual batteries in the camper, and I don't have an isolator. I just have, you know, jumpers set up where I can run them singly or parallel. In the camper, inverter will charge them, you know, singly or dual. So I got a lot of capacity there. I also carry a couple of those SLAs with me just because. So something I kind of want to pay attention to for similar reasons. You know, it's just a redundancy sort of thing. I normally, you know, operate out of some kind of vehicle, whether it's car, boat, camper. Otherwise, it's a portable. But it's also good to keep up with the tech, which I'm trying to do. And I have I don't know if you're familiar with a company called Gamber Johnson. They make a lot of customized vehicle mounts. They make the mounts for the MDTs and public safety cars and center consoles, the replacement equipment consoles that you swap out the factories and the SUVs, and they, you know, have a flat vertical rack to take, you know, multiple control heads and siren controllers and light controllers and all that kind of stuff. Well, in the 80s and 90s, they were really the cat's ass because they made a slide mount that really, honest to God, it targeted the CB market, but it's got an actual pin RF connector. And I just got a ton of those things laying around, so I tend to put one here and there. And I put one in my little boat, and it's got power and antenna and all that jazz with it. So I've got some flexibility there. You know, I mean, I can just swap rigs, just, you know, slam it out, slam it in, it's like hot swap. W8RPM.
KABCW. Yeah, that sounds really cool. You know, kind of a modular rack system would be sweet. My buddy that is an avid RVer, he's got a big fifth wheel that he and his wife take all over the country since they've retired. And he has really gotten into solar on his RV because they like to camp at a lot of BLM land and, you know, off the beaten path kind of thing. They're not looking for a full hookup every night kind of thing. And, yeah, he has been fighting the SLAs. They've gotten so cheap. He has to buy a new bank of SLAs every year or 2 years just because they just are not what they used to be, and they can't take the charge and recharge cycle as much as the old ones did. You know, that's what happens when everything's made in China.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. I'm going to jump for a minute. I got a sheriff buddy here that I need to catch up with, poking around, looking at me like, who the hell are you? So I got to go catch back up on things for a minute, and I will be around. Are you in town for a while? No travel coming up?
For the near future, not going anywhere, and just sticking around.
Okay, we got a downstate trip coming up this weekend for a baby shower. But other than that, there's really nothing firm, nothing planned. I have a couple things I'd like to get penciled in, but we just haven't been able to sit down and, you know, really do it, make it happen. So, but it's coming up. You know, the problem is that summer's going to be gone. You know, I mean, it's the end of July. And we lost all of June, pretty much. You know, my marina didn't even open up until the beginning of June. So it's tough, you know. It's a short summer. It's not going to be that big of a boating summer. You know, I left the big boat winterized. They didn't even take it out or put it in. I left, got a buddy that's got a 20-foot bimini top that I got him in my well, and he's paying the freight, so I don't give up my spot, you know. I'll catch up. Yeah. Stay cool. W8RPM.
Yeah, I'll be listening for a while if you get back on. Catch up with you later. KABCW.
KABCW is WABC.
KABCW, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening for a little bit. I'm down here in Royal Oak. It hit 111 on the dashboard for half hour or so. Had to go get gas. It's a cheap gas station, and people aren't happy when it's over 100 degrees. And I had to wait for old couple that kept sitting there, and you had two open pumps, but they kept sitting there, not moving.
Yeah, that can be frustrating, for sure.
So you were talking about SLA batteries. Have you heard anything about the lithium ion other than they catch fire and burn buildings down?
Yeah, I don't know how long you were listening to my last conversation with my buddy there, but I am running a small portable lithium iron phosphate battery, and it works great, and I'm very careful about when I charge it and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I used to have fuel lead acid batteries when I had my camper. And then I would spend a weekend at the camper, take the battery with me, and charge it up at home. It was okay, and then, of course, I sold the camper and got rid of everything. They have a tendency not to take a charge anymore.
Yeah, they've gotten worse as they've cheapened up. The old ones were good for a certain number of cycles, and of course they would deteriorate after a number of cycles. But that number of cycles has gotten so terribly low, and the price to replace them is so ridiculous that it's just not worth it anymore, in my opinion, and in my use case. Other people might disagree, and they might use it differently, and they might have a better setup, but I had a camper van for a while, and it had a starting battery, and it had a house battery that ran all the 12-volt lighting and everything inside, and it was great, but I think I bought 3 batteries for that vehicle I owned over 5 years because they just deteriorated so bad that they wouldn't take a charge anymore. It was real disappointing. I want to say they were like $160 every time that I had to replace one. So that's been my experience with them.
Yeah, well, when the company moved up north, they used to be in Royal Oak. They moved up to Central Lake. The owner was big into Y2K, so he had put in inverter system in the shop. Consisting of 4 banks in series to make 48 volts, and each bank had 16 batteries, 16 12-volt SLA batteries in parallel. And one morning we showed up for work with the fire alarm going off. Apparently the inverters, when they went back to utility power, went to charge the batteries, and they overcharged the batteries.
Yeah, you got to be careful about all that stuff and know what you're doing when you're hooking things up in series like that. That can get pretty gnarly. And never mind the fact that, you know, that's a leak hazard too. If you run a forklift into the bank of batteries or damage them somehow, you could wind up with a nasty chemical spill in your building, and that's not good either.
Well, yeah, what happened was the building filled up with hydrogen, so it smelled like rotten eggs. Now, not all the batteries, what happened was some of the cells shorted out, so that battery becomes the load. And what he should have done is, when if he paid attention to the company that installed the equipment, it wouldn't have done that. You put 4 batteries in series, and then you parallel those to get your 48 volts at 1,600 amp hours. That way, if a battery goes bad, you can pull it out of circuit without having to disconnect all the batteries.
Yeah, that's a little bit more than my knowledge is capable of understanding, but yeah, those are all things to be aware of if you're designing a system like that.
Yeah, when I called the company that put the batteries in, the first thing they said was, I told them not to do that.
That was an expensive lesson learned.
Yep, we ended up disposing of two battery banks. Each one had 64 batteries, and I took the inverters down, and then I wired it up. We had generators too, so I wired the generators so that I don't have to walk outside to fire them up if we lose power.
Yeah, the lithium batteries seem to be pretty good, but like I said, you do need a specialized charger to properly charge them, and until the jury is fully back in session on them, don't trust them as much as some people might.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm back in the driveway, 112 degrees, but then again, that's wherever the sensor is on my car, that's what it's reading. So might be lower than that. So, hey, well, take care, drive safe, stay cool. We'll talk to you later, WAVPC.
Hey, have a great day, KABCW. KABCW.
NHMJL Mobile.
KCHCLM, listen.
Thank you.